Blog Talk Radio.
Before your throne to worship you, I bow before you. Jesus, I bow in worship and adoration. Take all the credit, oh my dear Lord. Take all the glory. All the glory, the honor and praise all belongs to you. Take all the glory, oh my dear Lord. Take all the glory. Glory, the honor and praise all belong to you. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We celebrate you, God. We honor you. We call you by your name. Your name is a wonder. Your name is glorious. Powerful is your name. Excellent is your name. Raise your voice wherever you are and call him by his name. Awesome, glorious, powerful, mighty, ancient, ageless, timeless. You are God all by yourself. Shalagabala Josopala Negeta Shalakata Asa.
Yeah,
Wonder. Oh my God, what a wonder.
And they by the outstretch of your hand, you parted the Red Sea. Jordan was divided. Hey. Through the greatness of your power, men of us couldn't stop Sarah. I became God according to your word. The mountain keep like rocks, little hills like land, uprooted out of the way of your people and the greatness of your power.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You are God and you are God alone. Everything you say is yea and amen. You have the final word. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for
thank
this
you,
day that you have granted us to come into your presence, to come at your table and feast, oh God, on our have our daily bread, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you would speak to us as you use your servants today, O God, Pastor Joyce Stewart and Apostle Ronnie Stewart, O God. We just pray today that you would use their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay, and as they see and hear, they would speak, Father God. Allow them to decrease even right now that you might increase, O God. Touch the hearts and minds of your people in the north, the south, the east, and the west, all over the earth. Oh, God, that they might be receptive to what they hear today, Lord, that they'll not just be hearers of the word, but they will be doers of the word. They would activate what they hear today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Come on in, Apostle and Pastor, and let the Lord use you.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Apostle Callender, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I touch and agree with the prayer that have come forth on today. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Pray that you tear down the strongholds of the devil out of our mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. And come on in, Lord Jesus, and let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come on Block Talk, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and minister to your people across America and around the world. We thank you for this opportunity, O God, that's placed before us, that you've blessed Apostle Callender in the name of Jesus Christ to be able to have this this platform in the name of Jesus Christ, and of course have it opened up so that we, the people of God, could be used to be heard. Glory to God, as we yield ourselves to you, Almighty God, that you come forth and that you be heard across America and around the world through us, Lord. I lift up my wife, Pastor Joyce B. Stewart, on this morning, as well as myself. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. At Jesus Christ Apostolic Lighthouse Kingdom Ministries International, we thank you for this. We thank you for Block Talk. We thank you for the body of Christ across America and around the world. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for all of the Block Talk listeners right now, in the name of Lord Jesus, as well as those that have participated over the years, Lord. I lift up Pastor Linda Washington and Bishop James Washington, Apostle Linda Washington. I lift them up to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, as well as Apostle Millie and Deacon Frazier and others, as well as Apostle Callender and his wife, Sister Nancy Callender. In the name of Lord Jesus, and all who's here, that's here listening to us on today, as well as those that will come in during the time of this broadcast. And God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank the power of God the anointing of God that destroys the yokes of Satan and all of his demons off and out of our lives. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of God being upon us that make it us rich and added no sorrows. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Pastor Joyce, are you there? Praise the Lord. Pastor Joyce, are you there yet?
Oh, I must have been on mute. I thought I was open. I was greeting the Apostle Calendar and everyone on the line.
Well, listen, why don't you go forth and
greet
everybody once again in Jesus' name.
Well, God bless everyone. We thank God for this golden opportunity to come before everyone on today. It's been a long time being on Blog Talk, radio, and we're so excited today that we're coming together. It's been a long time. It's been years since we come to the line as a team. And so we're just praying God's blessing upon everyone and that everyone will receive and hear from the Spirit what God is speaking to our hearts on today and to make us a better person, a better individual, a better kingdom builder, because that's what it's all about, building the kingdom of God and enjoying each other, living amongst each other with love and unity. And so we just want to display God's love together on the line today. Thank you again, Apostle Calendar, for this golden opportunity to come forth on today. We thank God for you and Lady Calendar and also Apostle Washington and
Bishop
Washington and Apostle Millie and Deacon Frazier and all the others that constantly come on the line. I'm thinking about, I can't think of.
Well, all who's listening in.
Yeah, but I was trying to think of, I can't think of her last name.
Apostle LeGrand.
LeGrand.
Oh, I know you're talking about Honduras.
Long time, but I'm talking about recently.
Honduras.
Huh? And Honduras, but I'm talking about who usually come on during the week. And I'll share on the line.
Okay. Well, we need to move on because, you know, sometimes, you know, we can't remember everybody. I do it all the time. It happens to me all the time where it's people that I want to, acknowledge, but sometimes we don't remember everybody. So we just say all that's on the line. We thank you for tuning in with us as we get ready to go forward, giving God the glory, the honor, and all of the praise. And the title of the message is that Jesus comes to seek and to save that which was lost. We're coming from Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. We're going to talk about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Praise God. The prodigal son. Praise God. Glory to God. So, Pastor Joyce, if you're ready, we're going to get ready to go forward as you get ready to read. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and if you want to come in at any time, just let me know, and you come in at any time, you get ready, that the Holy Spirit is leading you, because we work as a team, and we just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, and all that's being done. Praise God, because it's all of him and none of us. Lord, let it be all of you, Lord God Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, and none of us. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to say to those who are listening to us, perhaps in India, in Africa, and other places, Australia, wherever our voices may be heard, praise God, in Asia, perhaps in some of the other nations. There are so many nations where Blog Talk is being heard. And so wherever our voices are traveling, even those that are on the sea, they're picking up out on the sea out there that's traveling on the ships and things they're listening as well. Praise God. And so we just thank God, praise God, for this platform so that we can give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in all that we do and say. In the name of Jesus Christ, I do want to say greetings to all of Jesus Christ Apostolic Lighthouse Kingdom Ministries International family who may be listening in. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to say big God bless you to all of you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Joyce, if you pick up at Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1.
Yes, sir. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. For to hear him. You know, it's something about when Jesus traveled, or when he walked down the dusty roads of Palestine, he walked through places in Jerusalem. You understand what I'm saying? Everywhere he went, even through the cities of Decapolis, he always drew a crowd simply because he was being used. Do you understand? That body of Jesus Christ, Son of the Twin, a living God. God was using him. Jesus is true God and true man. And God was using Jesus. Jesus was being used, you understand, to open the eyes of the blind, to unstop deaf ears, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. So everywhere he went, he had this reputation of people following him and touching him and expecting to receive something from them. Everywhere he went, he began to draw a crowd of people. Praise God. Read.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.
And the Pharisees, is that right? Religious rulers of that day, religious leaders of that day, said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In other words, they complain. And you know, you wouldn't think it would be the Pharisees that would be the one to complain or the ones to complain. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing is that, you know, they didn't receive, they didn't understand that Jesus was their Messiah, you know, God who had come in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. They didn't understand that. They didn't realize who Jesus was. They just looked at him like a teacher or something, but they didn't look at him as God in the flesh. And so the Pharisees, you're talking about the ones who were Jews, who believed in the tradition of the law. You know, they believed in the tradition of the law of Moses, that law that was given unto Moses. They knew about the law. I'm telling you, they could quote the law. These Pharisees were religious rulers. They believed in the resurrection. They also believed in angels. The Sadducees, who was another sect of Jews, they believed in the tradition of the law, but they didn't believe in the resurrection, neither did they believe in angels. So you had these different sets of sects of Jews, you understand what I'm saying, who believed a little bit differently, but they did believe in the tradition of the law. And these particular Pharisees came together, you understand, and said, listen at this, look at this Jesus. You know, he's ministering to sinners and publicans, and he eat it with them, and he drink it with them. What is this? You know, they looked at two categories of people, you understand, the unclean and the righteous. And they looked at themselves to be so, so righteous. But you know the Bible says, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You understand? We always supposed to be humble under the mighty hand of God and let God do the exalting us and let God have his way in our lives. You understand what I'm saying? And they began to complain because Jesus talked with the sinners. You understand? The publicans. And, you know, and how are you going to win the publicans? How are you going to win the sinners? How are you going to win those that are in darkness? You don't understand? Except you. You understand what I'm saying? Being there missed many times. You understand? It's not that you're in their midst to do the things that they do. You don't do the things that they do. But if you're going to win the loss, you know, you have to go among the lost. That don't mean you have to do what they do. Live the life that they live in. You understand? No, we're supposed to live a holy life. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But these Pharisees, you understand, they looked at themselves to be so righteous, and they looked at the sinner man to be so unclean. They didn't even want to bring the law to one that was uncircumcised. Matter of fact, they looked upon the Gentiles as dogs. You understand? Lord, have mercy today. When Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, now the gospel was to be preached to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. So he came as a Jew. You understand what I'm saying? And presented himself here upon planet Earth, God in the flesh, because that's who Jesus was, God in the flesh, or God personified in the flesh, or God in person. That's who Jesus was. But they didn't recognize who he was. Not even his apostles recognized who he was at the first. They had to grow into the wisdom and into the knowledge of who Jesus really was. In other words, the Holy Ghost had to reveal to them who Jesus was. So these Pharisees, you understand what I'm saying, they wouldn't even give the law, you understand, to someone that they thought was unclean. They had to be someone righteous. They had to be someone that was circumcised, and they thought being circumcised was, Lord have mercy today. They thought being circumcised made you righteous. They thought that being circumcised made you clean. You understand, when the Bible talks about, you understand, in order for us to be clean today, we have to have our hearts circumcised. In the name of the Lord Jesus, got to be a cutting away of the filth of the flesh. You know, we got to pray that to be, let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, so that we can overcome everything, every fiery dart that the devil fires at us. Because, you know, the devil is going to come against the body of Christ. He's jealous of the body of Christ because we, who are the people of God, we are on our way to heaven. We're on our way to a place where there's no sickness, no pain, no death, no disease. Oh, my God. And see, the devil, he can't, Lord, have mercy today. The devil, he cannot go to where we're going. You understand? No, he was in the old heaven, and he acted up. You understand? Old Lucifer, you understand, who became Satan, that old serpent, that old dragon, called the devil and Satan. He was cast out when he came against Michael and Michael's angels. Are you hearing this? And the Bible said that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon prevailed not. You understand? But the dragon and his angels were cast out of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? And cast down into chains of darkness. There are some angels that's demons, that are devils, angels that have fallen, that have been cast down. Jesus said he saw Satan fall like lightning. Lord have mercy. Look at here. And I just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And those angels that fell with Satan, who rebelled against God, you understand, in chains of darkness to be reserved until the day of judgment. You know, if those angels were loose, there would be no flesh saved. Are you hearing this? But Jesus got them bound with these chains that they can't break from. You know, people can make chains. People can make chains, and people can break out of chains. I mean, there are handcuffs that's made by man, and there are some people that's so strong, you handcuff them, and they can pop the handcuffs. Matter of fact, there was a man in the Bible in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark that was so full of demons, he made his he lived in the graveyard, in other words. You understand, he was always night and day cutting himself with stones and trying to commit suicide, crying night and day. But when he saw Jesus get off that ship, you understand, and he come running, and Jesus is just like was had just come off the Sea of Galilee, and he met him and fell down on his knees, and Jesus, you come to torment me before my time and things. But they had often tried to bind that man with feathers. They had often tried to bind him with chains, but the chains was often broke asunder by him. See, that was chains that man made. But when you talk about the chain that God make, you understand, those angels that's in chains of darkness to be reserved until the day of judgment, they cannot be loose. They cannot break away from those chains because those are special chains. Those are chains that God made. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about, let's go over there for a minute, Pastor Joyce. We'll come back to Luke. Let's go over to, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at this chain that God made. Because I'm telling you, when one is chained by the chains of God, they cannot break a loose. Cannot break a loose. Because those are special chains, or a special chain. Glory to God. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning as verse 1. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
What it says?
And I saw an angel.
Stop right there. And I saw an angel. We're talking about one angel. One angel. And I saw an angel. All right? Praise God. Because so many people are afraid of Satan. So many people don't want to come to God because they're afraid of Satan. They don't want to read the Bible because they're afraid of Satan. You understand what I'm saying? Because they feel that Satan is going to terrify them or Satan is going to do them something if they try to come to God. So they have a tendency of shying away from God because they feel that the devil might leave them alone. Well, he may leave them alone because he already got them if they don't surrender their hearts to God. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy today. But now watch this as we talk about this chain of what one angel was given by God, because we are not to be afraid of the devil. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we are not to be afraid of demons and devils. You understand what I'm saying? We got the Holy Ghost. We got the power of God. We have the anointing of God that destroys the yokes of demons and devils off and out of our lives. So we are not intimidated by the devil, but there are so many that's intimidated by him. But I said that to say this, that we're not supposed to be afraid of witches and warlocks and demons and devils and, you know, leviathans and behemoths and all of those that, you understand, that are used by the devil to try to intimidate us, because here we find where one angel, now there are two-thirds of the angels of heaven that remained with God. They didn't rebel against God. Only one-third of the angels rebelled against God. So there'll be more that's for us than against us. So we ought not be afraid of the devil, neither his demons. Now watch this. What one angel did with the devil. One angel. Now, God, remember now, there's an innumerable number of angels. You understand? That two-thirds, we don't know. We can only say two-thirds because it says two-thirds here. But as far as the number of how many angels that is, we don't have a clue. You know, we can't even imagine, you know, the number of angels that God had created that didn't rebel against him. All it said is two-thirds, and, you know, that didn't rebel. You understand? So there, once again, there'll be more that's for us than against us. And then we got God himself that's for us, that's fighting our battles for us, that's making us more than a conqueror. So we shouldn't be afraid of demons and devils, shouldn't be afraid of witches and warlocks. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. Call your verse out and read, Pastor Joyce.
Verse 1 again.
Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Read.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand.
Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Oh, my God. And a great chain in his hand. One angel come down from heaven with a key to the bottomless pit. You understand, with this great chain in his hand, and God had given him that chain so that he can do something with that chain, and that chain was going to be used to bind the devil. You understand, that chain was going to be used, you understand what I'm saying, to bound Satan, to bind Satan, and he would not be able to break free from this chain. Now, you got people that break free from chains that man make. But these chains, not even, listen, this chain that God gave that angel, that one angel to bind the devil with, Not even the devil himself could break away from that chain. Are you hearing this? Read, Pastor Joyce.
And he laid hold on the dragon.
Yes.
That old serpent.
Come on.
Which is the devil and Satan.
Which is the devil and Satan. So that one angel laid hold on him. Is that right? Got this key and got this chain in his hand. Watch this. Read.
And bound him 1,000 years.
And bound him 1,000 years. Even though Lucifer, you understand, who became Satan, have all these different, you know, names. You know, the serpent, the dragon, the devil, you know, Satan. You understand? It concludes by saying, and bound him. See, bound him. See, bound that devil. You understand? Bound him. All right, watch this. Come on.
And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled.
So you see, he was cast into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. You understand? And, of course, he would be let out after 1,000 years. God have the privilege to do what he want to do. He don't have to answer to nobody. He does what he want to do. You understand? Some people might say, well, why did he let the devil out? You understand? But the devil was let out after 1,000 years to deceive the nations for a little while. He was only let out for a little season. You understand? But after that, of course, he would be cast into the lake that pointed with brimstone and fire. Let's go back over here to Luke. Praise God. Let's go back over here to Luke. Praise God. We're talking about how that Jesus come down from heaven. Praise God. Born of a virgin, which didn't know a man. This is how he come. This is how God came into the world. He came legal. He came with a body. You understand? Because he wanted to introduce himself to his people. He came to redeem us. He came to save us. He came to make us free. You understand? He came with a body that could be broken and some blood that he would shed. You understand? To purchase us back from the fall of Adam and Eve. You understand? To purchase us back. You understand? Jesus come to reconcile us back to God with that body. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So it was necessary that he come from heaven to earth. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. All right, Pastor Joyce, if you would read.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?
Go after that one that is lost until he find it. You understand what I'm saying? Until he find it. Glory to God. Read that once again, Pastor Joyce.
Okay. Then he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep...
Having 100 sheep, is that right? Watch this, read.
If he lose one of them, did not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it.
Go after that one that is lost until he find it. Now, he's leaving the 99 in the wilderness, and he's going after the one that's lost. You understand? You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is concerned about a soul. If you notice, it starts off saying that this is a parable. This is a parable. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. This is actually talking about people. You understand what I'm saying? Some that have been saved but have turned their back on God, have gone back. Like, let's take, for instance, Demas. Paul said that Demas, you know, he traveled with me. He walked with me. He, you know, he had a work in the ministry, but he's gone now. He's gone back. Having been drawn away, of course, that would be by his own lust, having loved, the Bible says, this present world. You understand what I'm saying? So some are going to depart from the faith. That's what the Bible says. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their minds seared with an hot iron. You understand what I'm saying? Seared with an hot iron. You take one of those hot branding irons and you sear a cattle, you understand, that thing gets so hot, and then you take it off that fire, and then you stick it to the hip, you know, the hind of that steer, and it burns through the hair, it burns through the fat, it burns through the meat, and it'll put that brand on that steer all the way down to the bone. You understand what I'm saying? It'll put a brand on that steer. But it's so hot, you understand, that it burns through the hair. There's a severing that takes place. There's a separation that takes place of the hair and the meat and the fat. You understand what I'm saying? Till it presses that thing down to the bone and it makes that sound and it smokes. You understand what I'm saying? Then that brand is on that steer. And see, that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to separate us from God. He wants to separate us from one another. You understand? He wants to divide the body of Christ. This is what he wants to do. You understand? He comes to beat. He comes to kill. He's come to destroy. You understand? And just like that brand and iron, it severs. And it separates the hair, it separates the fat, the meat, and it burns down to the bone. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to separate the children of God. He wants to turn us against one another. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy today. But, you know, we have to fight for one another. We have to lift up one another's arm. Glory to God, because we all fighting the same enemy. We all fighting Satan. We all fighting, you know, demons and devils, you understand? We're all contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We're not contending against each other. You understand what I'm saying? No, we're not contending against each other. Listen good. We are contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Other words, we are contending for this gospel that we preach, not against the gospel, you understand, but God has given us this great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow us that believe. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we have power to cast out devils, to take up serpents. If we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. We have power to lay hand on the sick. You understand that they recover. So we're contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We're contending that this gospel be preached in all the world, not against it. You understand what I'm saying? But we're contending for it to be preached in all the world. So we're lifting up one another. You understand? And this is what we are to do. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. So Jesus come to seek and to save that was lost. You understand, the devil comes to beat, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life, and I come to give you life more abundantly. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Go ahead, read, Pastor Joyce.
And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost and
leave the 99 in the wilderness. You know, when you leave the 99 in the wilderness, some would say, oh, well, that's very vulnerable. You know, he left them, you know, without being protected, you know. But, you know, God has given the sheep something to do, you understand, especially when danger comes, you understand, when danger comes. Even though they are afraid, God has placed something on the inside of those sheep that they begin to gather together. They come together in the wilderness. This is what the 99 would do, you know, if a lion or something to attack the herd, you understand, or the flock. Lord, have mercy today. You understand? They would come together and they would get close together. We, the people of God, we should come closer. We should become closer together. And the more we come together, the more we're in unison, the more, you understand, more power we would have. One could chase 1,000 demons. Two could chase 10,000. Three can chase 100,000. Four can chase a million. Can you imagine with a whole lot of us come together with Jesus?
on the inside of us, the damage we could do to the kingdom of the devil as we work together for the kingdom of God and for the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine that the damage we would do to the kingdom of the devil when we come together and fight for one another? Is that right? So he didn't leave them so vulnerable as some people would think. You understand what I'm saying? They would huddle up together. And they, you understand? So when the lion would look at them, he would see something that looked something like a cloud. You understand? All of these sheep bundled together, and he can't figure it out. They would take their head and put, you understand, under in the middle of all of that wool, you know, and he can't see their head. You understand? He really can't even see their feet. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because they, you understand, they humble, they fall down as they get close to one another. And when the lion looks, all he sees is a big blob of, you understand, wool or something white. And you know he can't figure that out. He looks, you know, because many times he want to attack the one that, you know, that's away from the that's away from the flock. You understand? That's away from the herd. That's the one you want to flock, you know, attack the ones that's vulnerable or the ones that may be weak. Yeah. And that's the way Satan is. You catch a person away from church or a backslider, and that's where you want to destroy them at. You understand what I'm saying? That's why, you know, Jesus is married to the backslider. You know, and the backslider can come back to Christ before it's eternally too late. You understand? He should come running back before it's eternally too late. But the sheep, once he leave the flock, like that one that left the 99, he just goes farther away from the flock, just bleeding because he loses his way. You know, he's so vulnerable. He's no longer there. You understand what I'm saying? With the 99, with that shepherd's protection over them, you understand? And he just gets farther and farther and farther away from church. And that's the way some people are. When they leave or when they go back into the world, even after coming to Christ, you understand what I'm saying, and then being drawn away from Christ because they think something out there is better or more interesting when it's not, you understand what I'm saying? They get farther and farther away from God. It's sort of like a rabbit, you know. I could use this as a for instance. A rabbit, you know, they come out of that rabbit hole early in the morning because they figure they're going to go out and seek for some food early in the morning while it's still, you know, still dark. You know what I'm saying? Just the light be just not about to come in, but still dark. It would come out, you understand, and they start getting away. They come up, first they come out, just peep their head out of the hole. That's what that rabbit would do, peep his head out of the hole. Now, if he don't sense danger, if he don't see anything that's dangerous or that's going to be a hazard to him, you understand, or that will bring destruction to him, now he comes out his whole body. Then he hops a little bit away from the hole, then a little bit away, because if he spot danger right away, he can dash back to the hole, dash back to a place of safety. You understand what I'm saying? But when he doesn't see, you understand, that one that's out to destroy or out to kill him, you understand, he goes a little bit farther, then a little bit farther, then until he gets so far away from that hole. And what happens many times is that there's an eagle many times that's in the clefts of the rocks. He's way up there. You hear about eagle eyes. An eagle, it's said that an eagle could see the letters in a newspaper from being way up in the clefts of the rocks. He can look down and see the letters in a newspaper. You understand? In other words, if he could read, he would be able to read a newspaper. In other words, that's how keen and how sharp his eyes are. You understand? And so that rabbit can't see him way up there. So that rabbit is getting away, far away from that hole, far away from safety. And that's the way a sinner folk are. Many times they get a little farther from the church, they do a little bit more than a little bit until they're just out there. You understand? But when that eagle feel that rabbit is far enough away from safety, far enough away from the hole, he'll leave the clefts of the rock, and he starts circling. You understand? He starts circling, and he's circling. And many times that rabbit would, you know, see the shadow of that eagle passing over him back and forward as that eagle is circling, you understand, circling. And he realized now he's in the shadow of death. He's in the shadow of, so he makes a dash to run back to the hole. But because he's so far away, that eagle comes down at 200 miles an hour. You understand, those, oh, God, they can fly fast. Come down at about 200 miles an hour, and they come down, whoa, and scoop that rabbit up before he can make it back to the hole. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants people to go away from the church. He wants people to go away from God. He wants people to go away from where they're being taught, where they're receiving, where they're receiving the word of God, and come to a place of vulnerability. You understand what I'm saying? And then the devil, you know, will come in and try to make his kill. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but you know, the Bible says that we are not to fear him who could kill the body, but then afterward could do no more. But we are to fear him who could destroy both body and soul and cast it into hell, kill both body and soul, and cast it into hell. That's who we are to fear. We are to fear God. Are you hearing this? Lord, have mercy today. So, you know, once we come into Christ and we are there, we should enjoy ourselves. We shouldn't even be thinking about going back out in the world, only back out there, not to do the things we used to do, but to win the loss. You understand? Just like Jesus, you know, was telling about this parable of this sheep that went straying away. You understand what I'm saying? And as that one strayed away, the 99 would cuddle together. You understand what I'm saying? And that the lion would become confused. He would roar, but they're too afraid to move. He would roar like the other animals would scatter, become afraid and take off and run in different directions. And you understand? The sheep is too afraid to move. They still stay clustered together. And the lions, they just can't figure that out. You know, what is this I'm looking at? And they wind up going in somewhere else, looking for another prey. Or when they roar, they see some other prey moving and praying and moving and running. And you understand what I'm saying? And because they hunt in packs, you understand, sometimes they would run that prey right into another one, another lion, you understand? And, of course, when one make the kill, they all feast off of that one, a deer or whatever it is, that giraffe, that bison. And so we see here that, the shepherd leaves the 99. And some people, again, would say, why did he leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost? Listen, the shepherd knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, you understand? God knows what he's doing, you understand? Praise God. And he goes after to seek that one, you understand, that was lost. And read, Pastor Joyce.
Verse 5. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
And when he finds it, when he found it, he laid it upon his soul, on his shoulders, rejoicing. Listen, he don't beat the sheep. He don't chastise the sheep in such a way, you understand, that he beats him till he beats him almost unmerciful. You understand what I'm saying? You know, why did you leave the flock? Why did you go and just beat him unmerciful? No, he don't do that. What he does, he's so happy, he's so excited, he's so glad that he's found that sheep until he lifts it up and put it up on his shoulder. You understand what I'm saying? Now, no doubt, many times he'd be lifted up just in time, because sometimes there are wolves, there are mountain lions, there are other things that may have had their eyes on that one sheep that's vulnerable out there. You understand what I'm saying? Just like the children of the devil, there's so many children of the devil, you know, that's out there. When a little girl, you know, go to the store for her first time by herself, you know, she might, at an early age, you know, some of the you know, they're out on the corner, drinking that alcohol, sometimes, you know, smoking weed or cigarettes or whatever they're doing, drinking wine. And they'll see that the little girl, you know, she come to the store. Now, the eyes is on her. You understand what I'm saying? Just wait until, you know, it's a time when they could launch in and take advantage of that little one as they see him, you know, coming up, as they see him growing. And some of them even reach out, you know, and do things to him at 13 years old and all of that, you know. You know, we have to watch our children. We will not to send them out there by themselves. You understand what I'm saying? We got to watch our children. So many children are being kidnapped, you understand, and being used for sacrifice on the altars of demons and devils and witches and warlocks and all of that stuff, used as sacrifices and stuff. So, you know, I want to say watch your children. Keep your eyes on your children. You understand? It's going to come a time when they'll be able to go from under your watch. But you know, keep praying for them. Make sure that you've prayed for them and prayed for holy angels to be dispatched and to watch over them, angels that never lost their first estate. You understand what I'm saying? Praying for the blood of Jesus to cover them and protect them and so on and so on. You understand what I'm saying? And so when that shepherd, when he finds that that little sheep that was lost, he puts it on his shoulders, and he began to rejoice. So you see, now the focus is on him rejoicing. You understand? Focus on him coming back home and others rejoicing for him finding that sheep that he lost. And the Bible says that there's joy in heaven over one sinner that come to repentance than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. You understand? The joy. So we're focusing on the joy here. We're focusing on the joy that's in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that come to repentance. You understand? A sheep can't repent. You understand? A sheep can't repent. So we're not talking about sheep repenting. We're talking about people that are vulnerable, people that go astray. This is what the focus is on, and the focus is on the joy of one, you understand, Lord, have mercy today, being, you know, found by God, because God, he seeks and he looks for those, he seeks for the lost. And that's what the purpose of Jesus coming from heaven to earth. He comes down to save, to seek, you know, those of us that were lost at one time. Praise God. And when we repent, praise God, he gives us the spirit of repentance, you understand, godly repentance, so that we could be drawn to him by his loving kindness when we recognize what he come to do and how that his body was broken and his blood was shed, the 39 lashes and all, 40 lashes saved one. You understand, when he's whipped with that canine tail with the bone on it and rock on the tips of it and his flesh being torn all off of his body. Not a bone was broken, you understand? And then having to suffer that and then carry a big old wooden cross till he fall to his knees, and Simon Cyrene had to come help him with that wooden cross. Why? Because, you understand, as a man, you understand, Jesus fell to his knees. He was all man and he was all God. You understand? So much weight on his shoulders. As a man, he fell to his knees. And Simon was able to come and help him carry that cross, but only to carry it to a place of where Jesus would be nailed to that cross. And so they nailed his hand and they nailed his feet. You understand? A crown of thorns was pressed on his brow. They had already beat him unmerciful. You understand? Flesh hanging all off his body. You understand? Then he takes that cross after nailing him to it. They nailed him to it while it was laying flat on the ground. They nailed him to it while it was on the ground. But then they took it and they stood it up, you understand, upon Golgotha's hill, and they dropped it down in a hole, in a hole in Golgotha's, on Golgotha's hill. You can imagine that cross with Jesus hanging on that cross and how that they dropped it, you know. And when it went like that, jerked him. Lord, get a picture of it, how that it jerked him. Oh, my God, it'll cause you to cry. Jerked him, Lord, have mercy. Our Lord and Savior on that cross. You understand what I'm saying? And so you could imagine how that more pain, you know, intense pain. But, of course, he did all of this because he was tasting debt for you and tasting debt for me. In other words, he was dying so that we could live. You understand what I'm saying? He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. In other words, he carried all of our sins upon him. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And so he hang upon that cross. Glory to God. Praise God. And, you know, in each one of us, we have to suffer. Jesus came by way of suffering. He knew he had to suffer. And the Bible says, as Christ suffered for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind to suffer. You understand? So this way is a way of suffering. This way is a way of us going through things. You know, we're going to have to suffer things. You know, some of us, we can't go through nothing. You understand? If somebody spit on some of us, boy, I'm telling you, we're not going to turn the other cheek. Some of us, we're not going to do that. We're going to retaliate. If somebody punch us in the face, you understand what I'm saying? If they do us something like that, we would retaliate. We would take vengeance into our own hands. But you know, Jesus says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and I will repay. You understand? So as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, we are to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind to suffer. So we're going to suffer some things. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. You understand? So you understand, we have to be willing to suffer because this way is a way of suffering. Praise God. We're going to have to go through, but it's better to go through with Jesus than to go through without Jesus. Lord, have mercy today. Are you hearing this? And so there was rejoicing in heaven over that one sheep, you understand, glory to God, that was found, over one sinner that come to repentance, and over 99 just persons which need no repentance, you understand. So we're focusing on the joy, oh my God. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord have mercy. That's what the scripture says, praise God. All right, Pastor Joyce, move on. And Pastor Joyce, if you would like, in this second portion, if you would like to expound, feel free to do so. Finish reading this first portion of the about the sheep, and then as you go into the lost coin, if you would like to respond there, feel free to do so.
Yes, sir. Verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. In this section, dealing with the woman with the 10 pieces of silver, this was given to her at her betrothal, at her engagement, which is, in the Jewish custom, a marriage. Because at the service of the marriage, the husband gives this piece to her, and sometimes they wear it on their head, sometimes they wear it around their neck. But this was something that was precious to that husband, and it showed forth her commitment and dedication and how much she loved him and how much she didn't mind waiting on him. And so when she lost, in the process of cleaning it, cleaning her piece, shining it up so that when her husband decides to come, because she's supposed to be in a position where she's watching. And this also brings us to the story of the five, the 10 virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. Now, the five wise, you know, they were prepared because the husband, the groom, would send someone out to watch their over their virgin, you know, to see if she's got a light shining in her window, and that represents her waiting on her husband, waiting for him to come, waiting on the bridegroom to come and to take her away, because after the betrothal, after that ceremony, he's gone to try to prepare a place for his bride. And that's just like with Jesus. God gave us his commandment and gave us his promise and said, you know, once we go into covenant relationship with him, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking on his name, that is a covenant, a vow, you know, that we make God, that we, and we, in that covenant, we are asked, will you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And they would say, I will. And they say, do you promise to honor him and to love him and to cherish him till death do you part? And you say, I do. It's a vow of faith. It's a vow of covenant. And that's the same thing that happens in the covenant. What happens in the covenant of marriage also happens in the covenant that of salvation. That's why it's so important for us to take on the name of Jesus. What woman would go to the altar and say, no, I won't, you know. No, you want to take on that name. And so it's the same thing with the Lord. He says that if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you believe not that I am the one, you don't believe in me, you don't have faith that I will take care of you, then you don't have that covenant of life. In other words, because the covenant of salvation is the covenant of life, to live together throughout eternity. And so many people don't understand. First of all, we have to understand that Jesus, when he came on this earth, he came as a Jew. And so a lot of times when we go into the scripture, we're looking at the scripture from the viewpoint of a regular Westerner, you know, from this, you know, our custom. We're looking at the scriptures through the eyes of our custom. But you have to understand the Jewish custom. To better understand God, we have to understand the custom, because that's what all of these scriptures are based on, the Jewish customs. And so this custom that we're talking about right here, where this woman lost her comb, lost her silver, the 10 pieces of silver, she lost one of them. And so that was like breaking her promise to her husband that she will wait on him till he comes back and get her. You see, and so before the bridegroom came, when the bridegroom was saying, come out to meet the bridegroom, you know, those foolish was not prepared. And that's why the Lord tells us, keep your light shining, so that men will see. In other words, those that's checking in on you, they will be watching out, you know, for that groom. When they come and they see, they're going to know that, you know, that you love him of a truth. And they'll be able to see that, Jesus, you have spent time with him. You spent time with Jesus. When the light of Christ shines through our lives. And so This is so valuable of a coin, until when she lost it, she understood the value of that coin. She understood, and so did her other friends that she called on, the other virgins that she called on to help her, because they knew the value of it too. And so it's expressing, like Apostle said with the lost sheep, it's expressing the rejoicing and the joy of repentance, the joy of salvation, the joy. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. It's all about the joy of loving God and knowing God and being with him and looking forward for him coming back again. And it's all about repentance, that we repent, turn around from our evil ways and turn to God and know that he is the only one. There is no other Savior. Apostle.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much. That was so powerful. And, of course, we give God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And one thing I heard you say while you were ministering, you talked about lighting a lamp, lighting a lamp. And so when we look at this thing, how that we are the light of the world, a city that set it up on a hill that cannot be hid. See, Jesus has made us the light of the world. He is that fire, that light that's shining through us. You know, as we are instrumental in winning others to Christ, you understand, he is that light. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God, that shines through us. So the Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Is that right? But if the salt have lost its saltiness, where shall it be salted? You understand, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Is that right? Praise God. So we got to keep our light shining. We got to keep that fire burning. Praise God. As the light that shined in the tabernacle, you know, that was to stay lighted at all time because it represented the light of the Holy Ghost that lighted up the tabernacle for the high priest to do all of the things that the high priest needed to do so that, of course, Israel's sin could be forgiven, should I say covered, not so much forgiven, but covered for 1 year. You understand what I'm saying? So it's something about this fire. It's something about this anointing. It's something about this light that we have on the inside of us. Without it, you understand, we could not, you know, find those that are lost. You understand what I'm saying? But because our light is shining, you understand, because our light have been trimmed, you understand, praise God, because we have oil in our lamp, the oil of the Holy Ghost, you understand what I'm saying? We become that lamp. You understand what I'm saying? And that wick that's in the lamp, you understand, that flack, you understand, rope, that flack rope or that wick that's in the lamp, that's sitting inside of that oil, you understand what I'm saying? Once it's lighted, you understand what I'm saying, then that lights it is the Holy Ghost. It's the fire of God that lights the wick, you understand, that light us up. You understand that light the lamp up. The lamp now is lighted up. Everything is lighted up, you understand, because of the fire. Talking about the fire, the Holy Ghost. Now we are ready to seek and to look for those who lost. You understand what I'm saying? And lead them to Christ. Glory to God. And so you said, Pastor Joyce, that she took that lamp and she began to sweep the house as well. You understand what I'm saying? So no doubt she took a broom and began to sweep the house looking for that coin because, as you said, it was so valuable to her. Glory to God. It showed that she was still waiting on her husband, and, you know, she wasn't going out and you know, and doing something with some other man or something. You understand? Having sex outside of the marriage vow. You understand that that's what it represents. That coin represents her still holding on and still watching and looking for him, you understand, when he returns. Is that right? And so when she lost that coin, she began to sweep the house. The Bible says diligently, seriously, she began to sweep that house. You know why? Because she had to find that coin. You understand? And the Bible says when she found it. So no doubt it was among all of that dust that may have been on the floor. You understand? Like so many people that's out there, you know, they're lost. They're among all type of debris. They're among all type of dirt. You understand what I'm saying? Some are alcoholics. Some are drug addicts. You know, some are shooting heroin and alcoholics and snorting coke and adultery and fornication and lesbianism and all of that stuff that they do, you know, men having men and women having women and all of that. You understand? Enemy trying to up a little bit. Pastor Joyce, if you just say something a minute, what I did with that water, I had some water. Glory to God. If you just say a little something until I drink a little bit of this water.
Sir.
Okay. Well, again, we're speaking about understanding the culture, understanding the culture of the words. When we can understand the culture of words, then we can better understand the value of the culture and what each word means when we're speaking about it.
Okay,
how
Pastor.
How valuable it is to.
Okay, Pastor Joyce, I'm back. And so the enemy is attacking this, but guess what? He has no authority over us. We have all the authority over the powers of Satan, even though the enemy is trying to attack this at this time. The devil is a liar. Now, Pastor Joyce, I was listening to that boy when you was bringing that word a few minutes ago, when you were bringing that word, that wind just began to rise. I don't know if you paid attention to it, but I'm way downstairs. You're upstairs. And that wind is, you know, it's whistling from upstairs, and I could hear it from downstairs. And it's whistling. I mean, that wind just picked up while you were ministering the word of God. But did you hear the wind?
Too.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, it's whistling up here too.
It's still, well, I don't hear it. What I'm saying, I hear it down here, but it's. What I'm trying to say, the noise is coming from up there. You understand what I'm saying? It's not blowing as hard where I'm at, you know what I'm saying, as to where you're at. You're up a couple of stories up. You understand what I'm saying? So it's off that window up there, it's making, I could hear it, but it's a lot of noise. You understand what I'm saying? But nevertheless, we're going to go on. We're going to go on. We're going to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And so, you understand, we are that lamp, you understand. So when that virgin, you understand, when that lady that just had gotten married, when she began to search the house, and that coin is among all of that dust, that's what I think I was talking about at the time. It's just like sinner people that's among the world out there, that's in the world, that's, you know, doing everything that they're big enough to do. You understand, and all of us have been there. Sometime or another, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God that God brought us out. You understand? But so many are still into those type of lifestyles out there. Now, you know, we didn't commit homosexuality or lesbianism or that type of thing, but some of us did commit fornication, and some committed adultery, and some committed a whole lot of things. You understand what I'm saying? But I say all of that to say this. Once again, Jesus comes to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that right? And to God be the glory. So when she swept, can you imagine when she swept? Get a picture of her, you know, lighting that lamp and then, you know, walking around her home. She's looking desperately for that coin that was lost. It meant so much to her. It was a silver piece that meant so much to her. But as she's sweeping and as she's looking, all of a sudden she sees something reflecting. You understand, from the floor, she sees something reflecting, because remember, it was a silver coin. So when that light that was shining from the lamp, you understand what I'm saying, when the light began to reflect on the coin and then from the coin, she was able to see it because it started shining. You understand, it started shining. When she looked, she saw it. There it is. Why? Because it was a reflection there. You understand what I'm saying? And this is who we are. We are ambassadors. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, the city that set it upon a hill that cannot be hid. You understand? And we are to reflect Christ everywhere we go. We are to reflect Jesus so that the sinner man can see the light and be drawn into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy today. And so, no doubt, the light start reflecting from the coin. And this is what it is with us today. The light of Christ, the light of God, the light of the Holy Ghost has got to shine through us, because this is how others see Christ. They see Christ through us shining. You understand? So we have to shine, but we have to connect with the light of heaven, the Holy Ghost, the power of God. It's got to get on the inside of us and cause us to shine. See, and so when others see us, they're not just seeing us. They're seeing the one that sent us. And Lord, have mercy. You know, Pastor Joyce, the Bible says many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You understand what I'm saying? We put him on. So when the devil comes to attack us, and when the devil comes at us, you understand, he sees who we have on. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible talks in Revelation about this, you understand, the Lamb of God, Jesus being the Lamb of God, and that how that his wife have made herself ready. You understand what I'm saying? And it talks about how that, let's go over there momentarily. Let's go to Revelation. I don't know if I say that, but it's Revelation. In Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 7, let's look at what happened here with this lamb. This lamb was actually Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. When John saw him coming, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He called him the Lamb. Is that right? That was slain from the foundation of the world. Because in the mind of God, this had already happened before it happened. You understand? God knew he would come with a body. God knew he would, you understand, come to this earth to redeem his people, to save his people. He knew he would come to heal us, to deliver us, to make us free from the clutches of Satan, to deliver us out of the mouth of the lion and from under the paw of the bear. See, God knew he was coming, you understand, to seek and to save that which was lost. You understand? Glory to God. And, of course, when we get saved, you know, he tells us to feed. You understand? Feed his sheep. Feed his lamb. We're not supposed to just feed just the sheep, you understand, but the lamb, you know, the little sheep, you know, little bitty one, you know. In other words, the children as well. You understand what I'm saying? We are to feed the old and the young with that word of God that we have. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God, giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Now, let's look at this marriage in Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 7, Pastor Joyce, because it was something that you said that was so powerful. When you were talking about, you know, this covenant, a relationship, you know, this covenant relationship, and how that, you know, repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and getting the Holy Ghost and how that God sends us out, you understand, once we get saved to seek and to save the lost as well, or to be instrumental in winning the loss to him, he makes that covenant with us. And, you know, just like you said, the husband, it's a marriage vow made between the husband and the wife. You understand what I'm saying? When that wife get to the altar, say, "Do you want to take this man to be your husband?" You know, she's not going to say, "No, I don't want to take him." You know, do you say, "I do"? You understand what I'm saying? "I do." She's accepting, you understand, him becoming her covering. She's accepting him, you understand, not only becoming her covering, but she's accepting that his name. She's coming into his name, and she becomes his wife. You understand? She don't belong to nobody else now. She belongs to him, her husband. Now, her dad, who showed ownership, you know, over her, and you know, you know, understand, her parent. Now, you know, it's her husband. It's been a change of authority. You understand what I'm saying? See, this covenant is this change of authority from us, you know, serving the devil, you know, at one time, and now have come into serving God. It's something about this covenant of relationship of being born of the water and of the Spirit and having that blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives to wash away our sins. See, this is a covenant, and it all goes together. This is why you see this baptism of water and Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ throughout the book of Acts. Book of Acts is called the Book of Salvation. It's what the apostles preach verbatimly to the lost, you know, telling them what they must do and what they have to believe in order to be saved. You understand? Glory to God. And so, you know, when one believed the gospel and repented their sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, accepting that name, you know, that name called over them, you know, glory to God, that there's a change, you know, we become, you know, the children of God. And when we get the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the power of God on the inside of us, we receive his nature on the inside of us. We have his name and we have his nature. You understand what I'm saying? He said, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. When you buy something, you buy it, you know, with money. You understand what I'm saying? But you get it in your name, something that's very, very important, like a building or something, you know, something. You're gonna buy that in your name, you know, a car in your name. If not, somebody come along and take it. It's not in your name. It don't belong to you yet. Even though you paid the money for it, you understand? If you don't have it in your name, somebody could take it. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy today. And so when God purchased his church, when God purchased his temple, you understand what I'm saying? He purchased it with blood, not with money. You understand what I'm saying? Lord, have mercy today. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't you know that you are the body of Christ, or you are the temple of God? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You understand? We are the temple of God. God's spirit dwell on the inside of us. We are lively stones fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple for a habitation of the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the power of God to rule in the throne of our hearts. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So when one repent and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that name is called over them. You understand? That blood of Jesus is applied unto their lives through their obedience, trusting and believing that Jesus died on the cross, shed forth his blood, you understand, to wash away our sins. You understand? Once we're obedient to this truth, you understand, glory to God, and we receive the Holy Ghost because we have to repent. We have to be baptized. You know, it's not just making a confession. It's not just making a confession. Listen, we have to make a confession. We have to believe that Jesus died, that he rose again. We have to believe that he come down from heaven. We have to believe that his body was broken and his blood was shed, you understand, to wash away our sins. We have to believe that. There's no doubt about that. We have to confess that. The Bible says if we believe in him from our heart, we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, and here it is, unto salvation. That little unto, you understand, it's not leaving out repentance. It's not leaving out the baptism in Jesus' name, because all of it goes together. See, being born of the water and of the Spirit, it goes together. It's the covenant of God. That's why those that received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in Jesus' name was commanded to be baptized in Jesus' name. You understand? And those that were baptized in Jesus' name, who hadn't received the Holy Ghost first, you understand what I'm saying? Then, you know, it was necessary for them to get the Holy Ghost. You think about Simon the sorcerer. He believed. You understand? He was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He was a believer. He believed. You understand? But yet his heart wasn't right. Yet he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He still didn't have the nature of God on the inside of him. And that's why, you know, Peter told him, you know, when he came to, you know, try to buy the Holy Ghost with money, because he saw through the laying on of the hands of the Apostle Peter and John, you know, that folk received the Holy Ghost. No doubt they spake with tongues because they saw this outward, you know, this outward expression, this outward thing that was happening. Listen, he had saw some outward things happen already. I'm talking about Simon the sorcerer now. He had saw some outward things that had happened. He had saw, you know, unclean spirits had come out of people, those that were lunatics and all crying with loud voices. You understand? Evil and wicked spirits came out of them. You understand? Folk were healed. Now, he saw all of this, but never once at that time did he offer them money. It was something about the power of the Holy Ghost. It was something about the anointing of God that he saw happen that he wanted to buy the Holy Ghost with money. He saw the healing. He had saw all kind of outward signs that had happened, but he had never saw no one filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand? Lord, have mercy today. Are you hearing this? So the Bible says that they sent for Peter and John to come down from Jerusalem. Philip had been already baptized the city of Samaria in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. You understand? Because remember, you have to be born of water and of spirit. You understand? This is the covenant that God gave to his apostles when he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So it's necessary to be baptized. We have to be baptized. This is not just the outward show of what happened on the inside. We have to understand that that's the writing of somebody else. It's not God's word. You understand? When you look at God's word and you look at it deep enough and you pray and you cry out long enough and you fast, God will open up your understanding to these truths. You understand that we have to be in his name. Name shows our ownership. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So when we become baptized in his name, get that Holy Ghost, that blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives, we become his personal property. Are you hearing this? The Bible says that God purchased the church with his own blood. Are you hearing this? Glory to God. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. So you understand what I'm saying. Baptism is just not an outward of what done happened on the inside. Yes, something done happened on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's a must. that we be baptized. You understand? In the name of Jesus Christ. All of this is for the remission of sins. Bible said that baptism does also now save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but to answer with a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing this? Talks about the light figure, you know, in the days of Noah and all. And it talks about how that they were saved by water. Now, did the water save them? No, we're not saying that the water saved anybody. You understand? It was the obedience of Noah. You understand what I'm saying? It's obedience of coming upon the ark. And now the ark had to ride above the flood. And in order to ride above the flood, you understand, it was the water that lifted them up. You understand? To ride above the flood. And only those that had obeyed this truth, you understand, that northeast, because he's the only one who had God's word of salvation for that day, they were the only one that was saved from being destroyed in the flood. Well, the apostles have God's word today. You understand what I'm saying? And those of us that's got an ear to hear what they're saying to us, you understand, we're going to be saved. If we reject what they're saying to us, you know, we would be lost. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. And, of course, this is a lifestyle. Again, it all goes together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You understand? One Lord. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, we have to trust in Jesus Christ. One baptism, we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is just not an outward showing of what can happen on the inside. This is a part of your salvation. Glory to God. This salvation, glory to God, this was the way that God wanted us to come. Praise God. He is the one that left this on record for us to follow. This was a command that he gave to we who are the people of God. Glory to God. All right, Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 7. Read, Pastor Joyce.
Oh, this word again. Rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come. It's a marriage. It's a marriage. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. This is why we got to take on his name. See, when you marry someone, you take on that one's name. When you marry them, you understand, you take on their name. Lord have mercy. You understand? Hey, listen, even if a child, if they don't take on the name of their father, they are called a bastard. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have to take on our God's name, our Father's name, our Lord and Savior name. Lord have mercy today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, the Jehovah who has become our salvation. We're talking about Jesus Christ here now. Now watch this. Glory to God. Watch this. Read.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready.
Marriage of the Lamb. Now, who is the Lamb? What is his name? Okay, if we're going to be married to him, we need to take on his name. We need to have his spirit on the inside of us. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus said we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Some say the washing of the water by the word. That's correct. But we have to obey the word. You understand? We have to obey this truth that he gave to his apostles, that he left on record. The Bible says he opened up their understanding to understand the scriptures and said, thus it behoves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When we look at where it began at Jerusalem and what Peter first preached to those Jews on the day of Pentecost, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You understand, this is necessary. We got to have it. We got to preach it and teach it to our children. They got to get the same thing. Lord, have mercy today. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly receive, it'll make you rejoice. And they that gladly received his word were baptized in the same day. They were headed unto them about 3,000 souls. Now watch this. Go ahead, Pastor Joyce, read. Wow. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen.
That she should be arrayed in fine linen. See, that's what the church is called, she. she? Why is the church called she? You understand? It's simply because Jesus is the husband and we are the bride. So it's called she. Not that it has anything to do with homosexuality or lesbianism. You know, remember, as many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there's no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free, no male, no female. You understand? We are Christ's, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, according to the word of God. You understand? So it's nothing funny about, you know, the church being called a she and we being the church. You understand? That was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord have mercy. Those of us that are called by his name. Glory to God. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Glory to God. This is about holiness or hell. Are you, oh, God. Are you listening at this?
Apostle.
Yes.
The she represents his holy attributes.
Yes.
And
that's
we
right.
are one in him.
Mm-hmm.
This is why no male nor female, because we are one together with Christ.
Yes, yes. We are the body of Christ. In other words, we are the ones who he used to make babies.
Right.
You understand? Watch this now. When his word, you understand, sinks into the womb of our mind.
Come on now.
When it sinks into the womb of our mind and it sinks into the, you know, into our heart, you understand, and we become a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word, not just a sayer of the word, but become a doer of the word, you understand, and when we repent and we get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, when I say we, I'm talking about people of God and those that need to be baptized, you understand, and so when we do that, you understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Now we become his bride. Now we become his wife. His name is called over us, you understand, through repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. It's invoked over us. We have his nature. See, now we have his nature. What is his nature? The Holy Ghost. What is his nature when his word penetrate the womb of our mind and sink down in our heart and we are obedient to the word of God, and when we open up our mouth and speak with the Holy Ghost, with the nature of God, with the power of God. When we speak that word of God, and that seed of the word is planted into the mind of another individual, you understand, and sink down into that individual heart, and that individual obey the word of God, when they obey repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, getting the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues and the Spirit of God give utterance, when that blood of Jesus is applied to their lives to wash away their sins, now we have just been instrumental in making a baby. You understand? God making a baby through his bride. You understand? And every time we minister the word of God and that seed penetrates the mind of someone, in the heart of someone, and they become obedient to the word, you understand, and be doers of the word, not just hearers and sayers, rightly dividing the word. See, we got to rightly divide the word. We have to understand what the word is really saying to us. And boy, when our understanding come open up to this great name, you understand, we realize that it's the family name. Those in heaven and those on earth, you know, that name is the name of Christ. Are you hearing this? The Bible says, for this cause, that's Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, don't miss this, is named. Oh, my God, we have his name on. Lord, have mercy. It's important that we understand why this is about. This is the family name. This is a must. We have to do this. This is a part of our salvation.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. It's the covenant. It's what God commanded.
Yeah.
It was Jesus said to go into all the world for his apostles to preach and for people who have an ear to hear what they are preaching to them. You understand? And become a doer of what they are saying to them. It's saying what people must do throughout the book of Acts. I'm telling you. It's right there what the apostles preached to the lost in order for the lost to be saved. And they preached to the lost in order for what the lost needed to be saved before Paul was even born again.
Come on.
You know, before he was even born again. Uh-oh,
right.
God, have mercy. Folk were being saved, you understand, to what the apostles preached before Paul was even born. And yet we go to that script and we think that's all we got to do is confess with our mouth and believe from our heart. We saved and that's it. That's all over. No baptism don't have nothing to do with it. The devil is a liar. It's a must. It's a part of our salvation. We have to do this. Lord have mercy. Oh, praise God, praise God. So Simon, you know, he believed. He believed in, he was baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Let's finish this verse, and then let's take time to go over there if we have time. Let's finish this in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and I want to go over here and see something here. All right, are you there?
Yes, sir.
What it says?
Verse 8 says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints."
You know, when a bride, many times a bride get married, not all the time, but most times that's what they have on, white. You understand? In this case, the white represents, you understand, the righteousness of the saints, all the trial, tribulation that we went through. You understand, we can only be righteous, you know, through that Jesus left on record, you know, through his blood, being obedient to what he did on Calvary, the power of his resurrection and obeying was pinned down in these scriptures, you understand, for us to follow. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So we put on Christ. Many of us that have been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. See, when we put on Christ, that's the righteousness of the saints. When we put on Christ, the things that we go through, you know, the suffering, when we take up our cross and follow him, you understand, the suffering that we go through, you understand, when we put on Christ, see, we got to put him on. See, that's that garment when we put him on. Your Lord have mercy. And many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. Not only have him put on us, but him on the inside of us. Lord, have mercy today. Glory to God. All right, praise God. Let's go over here now to back to Acts chapter 8.
Yeah, Apostle, it's 12:34 too. I just want to.
I think we good. Go on.
Where are we going?
To Acts chapter 8. Because we want to see something about this man, Simon, that was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, was still short of something because he had to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You understand? Now, he's baptized in Jesus' name, but he needed the Holy Ghost, but he thought he could buy it with money. He was coming to get it the wrong way. Wanted to buy it with money. He saw that he wanted this. He saw that he but he wanted it just to use it, you know, for gain and to get money and to, you know, cause people to have their eyes on him, you know, and then perhaps, you know, want to buy it from him if he wanted to sell it. He thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Even though he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, he still had to get the Holy Ghost. And those that get the Holy Ghost still got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus because they got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. It takes these two elements. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory to God. All right. Are you there in the 8th chapter?
Yes, sir.
Read starting from verse 12.
But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized.
See, the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they believed that preaching that Philip was preaching. Unclean spirits, we talked about how they came out and all that. You know, folk were healed, folk were set free and all. But they still needed to get the Holy Ghost, even though they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Read that verse 12 again. Watch this.
But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ.
Kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What happened?
They were baptized, both men and women.
They were baptized. Now, somebody might look at that. Well, they didn't say they were baptized in the name of Jesus. It just said they were baptized. They didn't say nothing about them being baptized in the name of Jesus. But, you know, if you read on, you see that, yes, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, go on, read.
Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip.
Now, he believed, he was baptized, and he followed Philip. Come on, watch this, read.
And wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done.
He saw all of those outward signs, miracles and all that were done. But now watch this, come on.
Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
Yes.
Who, when they were come down,
They sent for Peter and John, who, when they came down, something happened when they came down. Because, see, Philip did the baptizing in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, Philip was used by God to do that. But now we see that here come Peter and John. See, Peter and John is being sent, from Jerusalem, to Samaria, because they had heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They had heard about these people, how they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but was short of the Holy Ghost. So, they were sent by the apostles to come on down. Verse 14, what it says?
Verse 14 says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
Yes.
Who, when they were come down.
When they had come down from Jerusalem to Samaria, prayed for those Samaritan people, read.
That they might receive the Holy Ghost.
That they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, they was already baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Why? It goes together, water and spirit. It's necessary. It's a must. Lord have mercy. Watch, keep reading. Watch this. Read. Verse 16. Are you there? Oh, my God. How'd you get cut off? Pastor Joyce, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Well, we've been our line's been separated some kind of way. I don't know how that happened. You still got charge on your phone? Unless I don't think my phone went out.
Your phone is still on.
So you can hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, I'm talking to you.
Let me tell her that you could hear me but can't hear her. She might be on mute. Let me see something. I don't know. Let me see what didn't happen. Apostle, could you bear with me just 1 minute?
Yeah. Because she may not know that her phone is out.
Okay, she says... She may not know that she's on mute. Wait a minute. Okay, praise God. Somebody, something is happening with Pastor Joyce's phone because Apostle said he could hear me, but he can't hear her. So that means my reader is gone, but... as I was saying, the apostle sent for...
Okay, I got it.
Okay. What had happened? Are you still there? She's going and coming. She's going out and coming back in. Joyce? I can't hear again. So I'm just going to go on until she's able to come back in. I don't know if it's short in the line or what. I think the phone is gone out. So I'm just going to try to freestyle it from here, giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise, because we almost had come to a close. And so what happens is with Peter and John, when they came down, remember, the city of Samaria had already been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, because remember, Philip preached the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus to them. And the Bible said they were baptized, both men and women, and even Simon the Sorcerer got baptized. But Simon the Sorcerer did not have the Holy Ghost. Even though he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, his heart still wasn't right. See, it takes water and it takes spirit. You understand? It takes the both. See, water and spirit. Now, he was baptized in the water, but he didn't have the right spirit. Okay, so here is what happens in the 16th verse.
Pastor Josh.
Okay, I'm coming in.
You're in there.
Okay,
she's
Pastor
in,
Josh.
Apostle. I just put her in.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Apostle. All right, verse 16, Pastor Joyce.
Okay, verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
All right, now that's letting you know that the 12th verse where it says that Philip preached the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus and men and women were baptized. You understand, it's letting you know what name they were baptized in. See, right there, they were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. The name was invoked over them. But it takes more than just the name being invoked over a person. You know, it's just like if a person get the Holy Ghost first. It takes more than just receiving just the Holy Ghost without being baptized in Jesus' name, because those who receive the Holy Ghost in the Bible, you understand, prior to being baptized in Jesus' name, was commanded to be baptized in Jesus' name. It's something about this name being invoked over us. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. It shows ownership once again. All right, now, of course, you'll find that in Acts chapter 10, verses 43 through 48, if anybody's reference, if they want to, you know, go to that. All right, so we see in verse 16 that they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the city of Samaria was baptized, and it is telling you how they were baptized or what name they were baptized in. See, the Bible says, read 16 again. It's going to be made plain what it says.
What is that? Yet, he was fallen from none of them.
For as yet, see, they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. The Holy Ghost hadn't fallen upon them. See, for as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. See, they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, it's got to go together, water and spirit, spirit and water.
Water
it goes
spirit.
Together. It's necessary.
Yes.
All right, now watch this. Read.
Then laid they their hands on them.
Then Peter and John laid hands on the people of Samaria, and what happened?
And they received the Holy Ghost.
And they received the Holy Ghost. Now, no doubt, an outward sign, just like in Acts chapter 10, you understand, the reason why the Jews knew that the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost is because of the sign. And they say, well, you know, how do you know that they've received the Holy Ghost? For they heard them, this is how they knew, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. See, that outward, something about that outward assurance, you understand what I'm saying, is showing that folk have received the Holy Ghost. Now, here Samaria hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet, but they were baptized in Jesus' name. But when Peter and John laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. Now, no doubt the outward sign was there, not just the healing that took place earlier in that chapter, not just because the lunatics and the devils was cast out of people in that chapter, but this other sign here, see, and we know it to be speaking in tongues. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, now Simon, he never offered them money before. You understand? After seeing the miracles, signs, and wonders that were done, he never offered them money. No money at all. But now he's offering money now because this power, the Holy Ghost, see, evident it was speaking with other tongues. So you got to read in between lines. And, you know, you see that they received the Holy Ghost, evident speaking in other tongues, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 1 through 4, in Acts chapter 19, praise God, verses 5 and 6, you see that they received the Holy Ghost, glory to God, and baptized and received the Holy Ghost and prophesied, you know. But you see these, it speak with tongues, they say it as well. So you see this speaking in tongues all through the scriptures here, you know. Why? Because it's necessary. Praise God. Are you hearing this? All right, now watch this, Pastor Joyce, verse 18 again.
Verse 17 again?
Verse 17, yes.
Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
Now he wants money to buy the Spirit of God. He wants money. I mean, he wants to give money to buy the Spirit of God. He wants to buy it with money, in other words. He's thinking that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And Peter just told him, said, look, your money perish. Look, your heart is not right. You and your money perish. Your money is no good. You can't buy the gift of God with money. You understand what I'm saying? And so we see here, giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise, that, you know, Simon, the Bible says, was in the gall of bitterness. You know, and after Peter had said these things to him, to make a long story short, you understand, he asked them to pray for him that none of those things come upon him that Peter had said. You understand, none of those things come upon him, because he was going to have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that was making it plain. Glory to God. Now, we're going to get ready to close out. We don't really have time to go into the rest of the scriptures, I don't think, because we still had the prodigal son left, you understand, and what happened there. But we're not going to go there. But we do say that there's rejoicing over one sinner that comes to repentance than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. But it takes more than repentance. We must repent, because the Bible says, you know, if you don't repent, you know, and if you don't have the Spirit of God, oh my God. Except ye repent. That's what it says. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. So it's important for repentance. It's important for getting the Holy Ghost. So when you look at Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, you got to really understand that. You understand? Because you'll miss it where it says that confession and all how that it leads unto salvation. You understand how all of this goes together in the name of Jesus Christ. So we hope that we've said something today that's been a blessing to those of you that are on Blog Talk. We thank Apostle Calendar for the opportunity of being able to come in and to rightly interpretate God's word on today. And we give God all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you, Pastor Joyce, for coming in and reading for me today because I needed you to read for me. And I thank you for taking out from your busy schedule to be able to come and read, yes, because I know at this time here you'll be going to take care of the businesses, businesses.
You're so welcome. It was an honor.
Okay. All right, Apostle Calendar, we're turning it back over to you at this time.
We thank God for you, Pastor Joyce, being such a faithful servant of the Lord and a faithful helpmeet to your husband. We thank God for you. And being my sister in Christ, we do truly appreciate you and what you have done today for the kingdom. With this message, I was hearing the message of salvation, the power of salvation, the power of the blood. I was hearing so much in the message that was just caused my spirit man to rise up, was so powerful. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this man of God, this woman of God. We thank you for all that they have done, all that they have said by the spirit that you have placed upon them. Lord, we ask that even right now that you would open the window, the door and the gates of heaven, even right now for them. Lord God, pour out on them fresh oil from heaven, that at the next appointed time that you choose to use them in the ministry that you have called them to serve, God, that the power of God would be present, O God, that no one could escape, O God, what you deliver through them. O God, that the word that flow from their mouths, from the belly, depths of their belly, O God, would be like a sickle, O God, cutting, O God, the things that need to be removed from the children, O God, that come to hear, Lord. We pray, Father God, for their continued protection as they go forth, Lord, for we are living in perilous times, and we ask your protection over Pastor Joyce as she go out and as she come in, God. Protect her on the highways and byways. Let no hurt, harm, or danger befall her, that she will always get reached back to her husband safe. Oh, and find him safe, oh God. Father, we just thank you. Yes. We praise you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name, we have prayed. Amen. Apostle, what a powerful anointed word. You've done the prayer of salvation in the message. It was so powerful. But you know what I like when you talked about that angel in the book of Revelation, when he came down and he had that chain with him. And by God, and he bound up the dragon. That was so powerful, because you can see, that the dragon is powerful, but he's not as powerful as God. And the angel is representing God. He's standing in the office, and he's standing in the office of all power, all authority. He bound that angel, bound that demon. I tell you, it was so powerful. Glory to God. And then you speak so much about the baptism and hearing and believing and receiving, which was in the message, all through the message, that you got to hear it, you got to believe, and then you got to receive, was all through the message. Glory to God. And then you really put the icing on the cake when you talk about the Wasafra Simon. Because Simon, and even right now, a lot of people think that they can come to the pastor and get a pastor $1 million and they're safe to get to heaven. You see it happening all the time. We know preachers that receive $1 million from homosexuals. We know preachers that did. And these homosexuals think they can come and give the pastor, a bishop, $1 million, and they're going to get to heaven without repenting of their sin and turning, receiving Jesus, Lord and Savior, and turning from sin. So that's what the repentance is about. And Simon tried to do the same thing here. He was following them, and he thought that, he was cool. But when he saw the power that came from the apostles, that people receiving and start speaking the Holy, speaking in tongues, he thought that, well, I need this, and I can purchase this. But Peter told him, no, your money perish for you. That was so powerful. That was so powerful. I thank God for you, Shep. What's the name was on here with us? She's back on now, Prophetess Kersey. She was on, she heard the message, but she's at work. She might come in and kind of encourage you all, not that you need any encouragement, because you all know what you're doing. You do what you do, just like Apostle Washington and Bishop James. You know what you're doing. So we just thank God for you, Apostle, and Pastor Joyce. I know there's much more to come from you, Pastor Joyce. You know, there's much more to come from you as you continue working in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Your best is yet to come. I tell you, woman of God, I see God doing such great work with you and through you because you are faithful. You are truly a kingdom builder. When I hear you, I hear a woman of God speaking with authority, speaking with power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The demons are running every time you open your mouth. They don't like you. Just like they don't like me because you're speaking truth. And when you speak truth, demons dislike you. They try every way to try to stop you. But I thank God that you are covered in the blood. We are all covered in the blood. And because we are covered in the blood, we are protected. No death angel can touch us before the time that the Lord has assigned for us to leave this earth. God bless you. The line is open. I don't know if a shepherd, the prophetess want to come in.
Pastor Joyce, are you there if you want to respond to Apostle?
Kersey was the one, the name I was trying to, I could not think of her name. And at that time, you know, Apostle was saying, well, let's just go on, you know. But
yes.
I was trying to think about her. And, you know, giving honor to her as well and also to her son that comes in. You know, I don't be on the line that much, but when I'm home and I'm actually hearing it, you know, I be enjoying it. You know, I be enjoying those times, you know. And I just want to thank you, Apostle, again for this opportunity. It was an honor. It's truly an honor to be able to have the opportunity to come forward, you know, to help someone, you know, because we help each other, you know.
Yes.
And just be a blessing, you know, because God has blessed us to be a blessing.
Amen.
And it's all about the kingdom, and it's all
That's
about
right.
the King and His kingdom.
That's right.
So,
hallelujah.
Giving glory and honor to God always.
Well, thank you, my darling. I want to say that I love you, Pastor Joyce. You know, I'm always telling you that I love you. You're always saying that you love me. So, once again, you know, thank you for coming in and helping on the line today. Love you, sweetie.
Yeah, I thank
right,
you.
Jesus
I
name.
Thank you so much, Apostle, for being my covering. God bless
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah.
Love
Thank
you,
Lord.
It's an honor to serve you.
Amen. It's an honor for us to serve each other. Love you.
Hallelujah. Well, the lane is open. Anyone want to come on and encourage this man of God, this woman of God, you can come on in. Prophetess Kersey or Deacon Fraser, you can come on in. God bless you.
Amen.
The lane is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Giving honor to you, Apostle Calendar, and your family and all that concerns you, the ministry that's entrusted in your care, and all the above names that you call. And it's just an honor again to be back online. We have been very, very busy, and there's been a whole lot of distraction things to do and to urgently get done before things. The doors are commanded by the people of God to now shut your doors as the worst indignation overpassed the earth. And it's just an honor to hear Apostle Stewart again. I haven't heard his voice in a while. Amen. It's always an honor to hear the apostles as they go forth as the Lord has commanded. Amen. And teaching of salvation and deliverance in the correct way to come to the Lord, you know, all the mandatory phases that we have to go through in order to be saved. Praise the Lord. And like you always say, Apostle Calvin, we all been anointed to do various things. We are one body. Glory to God, the many members, and all of us have a different trumpet and have a different sound, but we are all saying the same thing and ambassadors for God for the same purpose, and that is to bring the Lord, our people to the Lord, especially in this day and time and the time frame that we're in now with people. We are passing through the seasons of the false anointing where we are likened to Elijah the prophet on Mount Carmel. You hear so much confusion concerning the way to the Lord, and people just feel like they can go in any kind of way and step to God any kind of way and serve God any kind of way. Praise the Lord. And God is sending apostles and prophets in various areas geographically to correct that and put them in remembrance of you still have to repent. You still need to be baptized. You still need to be Holy Spirit filled, because without the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Ghost given to you, you won't even be considered a part of the kingdom. You won't even be a part of the church. And that's what Romans 8:9 say. If a man, and that's including female, when he addressed them, he's talking to all humanity. If a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And a lot of people seem to think that not having a new spirit, you got to have a new spirit and the right spirit and something supreme over all the other fallen entities that are now being given charge to run their course right now at this time. Amen. And I tell you, it was just a powerful word, and I always enjoy hearing him teaching on those levels. Executing the first principles of the doctrines of Christ. And a lot of people, because of the falling away, a lot of people have to do it over and over and over again, lay the foundations of repentance over and over again. Though Paul encouraged us that it's going to come a point, you got to soon grow up and go past that and go on to perfection to keep from laying the foundation of repentance, repenting over the same thing over and over again that God has already given you power over, because he gave you power over all the power of the devil. And people keep going back willfully sinning and don't know the dangers of doing that, because one day you go back too many times and there's no guarantee you'll make it back in time. And so we thank God for his mercy yet being extended. And evil in telling you is rare that you hearing it, but there's still the echo of salvation in spite of we're seeing the wages being issued to people, because judgment already passed through the church and now it's upon the world. And so God is still saying, repent, repent through this telecast. Today is for the repent and not just ask for forgiveness, but change. Stop doing what you're doing. And I hear Pastor Washington, she says a whole lot on put a lot of insurance on. You can't do the same thing and say you're representing God. You got to have a new spirit. You want to make sure you have a right spirit, because it's going to take spirit to fight spirit in this hour, but it's got to be the Spirit of God that calls all other spirits to be subject, because when you walk with God, and as Paul told the Hebrew church, that God is the Father of spirits. And so we need God's spirit. We need his spirit to control the other lower entities around us. And I'm telling you, I was blessed and listening at the woman of God, and her expression is the word of God, the same anointing. And you can tell it's flowing down from the leader to her. Amen. Speaking so eloquently and line upon line concerning the Holy Scriptures as well. It's just a blessing always to hear it. I'm telling you, I just eat. And I have eaten today, and I continue to eat even when I'm on work. If I can't get on the phone all the time, and there's more attentive, because the lady that I've been seeing about is more ill and becoming more disabled, and things are not well. And so they want you to not be on the phone. So at times I'm not privileged to be there, but our hearts and prayers are with you. And every morning, Apostle Callender, we call your name out on the prayer line, on Eagles Amen. Outreach prayer line. We're there on that line, praise the Lord, 7 days a week, 5 a.m. Central Time every morning. And if the Lord's will and Jesus tarry and the system, AI, don't cut us off, but June the 10th is the coming year 2024 would be 15 years that we have been on the line for 7 days a week. At 5 a.m. every morning without skipping a beat. And so we have over almost 11,000 hours or more of prayer because of that. And your name is called out. And I'll tell them, I say, I've been trying to get Apostle Kellen of the past back through there because they enjoyed you and you left something, always asked about you from time to time. When is he coming? So I tried to get some of the apostles because whether it's in our local pulpit or not, we know we need the fivefold ministry passing through our lives to perfect us. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians 4. It's going to take the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to perfect the things that concern us, to bring us into full stature. Yes. And that we can understand everything about ourselves and the Godhead, you know, our triune, our body, soul, and spirit, as well as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so we need you apostles. We do. We really do. And a lot of churches fight that. And a lot of them that was born out of the harlot religion, they have replaced it with the bishopship. And unfortunately, it's not in the scriptures that that one is necessary to pass through the pulpit. And all bishop is overseer, but it's of Catholicism, and God specifically said apostle. So they have to be acknowledged, and they have to come through to set things in order and to establish and reestablish, as Paul say, keep travailing over and over again to Christ be formed. If they have to keep bringing the message of repentance today, amen, it's needed. All ministries that say they be of God need the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers to pass through those pulpits to hurry up and to perfect the people, you know, because time is running out to, after a while, praise God, he that is filthy will be filthy still. There ain't going to be no way to change. It'll be finished, and you won't feel the anointing as you feel it and see it coming through these men and women of God to go on and surrender and get what you need right now. Before the doors are shut, they will. Noah's ark shut, and it's a type of that time is finished, and you better get on in while you hear this good old gospel preaching and praying on this line. Amen, and we thank God. And Minister Jones, he had went to driving city buses, and it wasn't bringing the income that he needed to balance out his bills, so he went back to trucking on the road. He went back to the road. And so he's been going, and I just got off the line when I said, you've been on there. I said, I was on there a few minutes. I'm going to try to go back after I get her straight and fed again. And so we miss you being on this line. And then I had to, my car broke down at the time I was supposed to minister the control arm, Apostle. So I do honor you and the audience if it was announced that I was coming there to speak the control arm, lower control arm of my car. On the passenger side, broke. And I mean, boy, I said, yeah, I know the type of word where I was coming from. I said it was a fight. And then the man told me, well, if you change it, you might as well change the other one because the bushing gone on that side too. And I said, man, I said, every time I make money, it's gone. I can't keep nothing. And then trying to get that property ready for what the Lord said that will come like unto Joseph concerning us. And how we need to prepare for that, the coming famine, where there would be no privilege to go to the stores anymore to gather foods. Amen. But I was blessed. Yes. I really was. The little time that I heard you, Apostle Stuart, you know it's an honor to hear you, and Apostle Calendar as well. And then we are constantly sharing information and as you know, the Lord lead. And I've just been growing and encourage and even thrust even more to working out my salvation with fear and trembling, you know, the good side of fear, the good side of fear. There's the fear that James said God has not given us. That means we don't have to fear evil, that certain thing, but the fear of being lost, of making a mistake, not letting one thing keep you out of the kingdom, because he say not even a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. I'm on search, shining a searchlight on my own life daily to make sure that I'm ready. So I just thank God that I'm still able to hear the voice of apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers that confirm and reaffirm and that inspire me these days. Amen. So be encouraged, man of God. Be encouraged, apostle, to keep doing what you're doing and just be prepared. Now, the people don't know the blessing of having this radio broadcast that these ministries pass through, because listen, the voice of the bride and the bridegroom will soon be heard no more at all in the earth. And I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to wish for the day to hear your radio blog or the preachers on the radio. They're getting aggravated. Satan is creating an attitude with Christians now against us. But they're going to wish for the day to hear the church, to hear the voice of God reaching out to them, and will not. It will not be heard. So take advantage of these sermons and sermonettes or teachings, revelations, the information. Amen. The correction, the rebuke, the instruction. Amen. Just take it all. Take it all. Amen. Because it's only trying to get you prepared that you may enter that place that Jesus is preparing for them that love him and keep their bodies in sanctification and honor. God bless you, apostle. Thank you for this moment to say those few words. I love you. Keep us in prayer. And if the Lord will, we will connect soon. God bless you, woman of God, as well. Amen.
Thank you so much, Prophetess Kersey. Thank you for your comments, your own time.
Yes, God bless you, Prophetess Kersey.
Yes, thank
you. Thank
you
so much. Pastor Joyce, you shared something that is ringing in my spirit, and I didn't write it down, but it was so powerful, and it's just ringing in my spirit. You talked about the marriage, and it was talking about something related, and I could just hear it because someone was ringing, coming to me about going to the altar and seeing I do. And I think he was correlating that with the marriage of the bride and the bridegroom, which is Jesus. And it was so powerful. I mean, you were seeing that when Apostle was going out, and it was so powerful. I tell you, oh my God, I got to go back and listen to the recording a little later when we get off, because I got to get that in my spirit. It was so powerful. Nobody going to go to the altar and say, I don't. Yeah, that was so powerful. Ooh, God, I got to get the whole gist of it, though. Cause I can't just get a little piece of it. I got to get the whole gist of it.
Yeah,
that was so powerful.
Yeah, many of us, you know, when we first get into the Bible, we go through the Bible looking at the scriptures through the eyes of our culture. But we have to understand that this whole Bible is based on Jewish culture.
Yes.
And so you have to understand the culture in order to understand what the word is actually saying. And so you have to go and understand, what is a marriage covenant? You know, how did it go by that, you know? And because everything in the commandment that he has given to us is based on the Jewish culture. As far as marriage covenant, it's based on the Jewish culture. And so that's what we have to learn about that, learn about the culture. If your context is wrong, the whole conclusion is wrong.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. One time one of our members came in, and no one understood her but me, because my mother is is French, you know, she's like of the French descent. And so when they would talk, they would say, all right, Cher. You know, and so I was used to that French culture, And she came from Guyana, which is also with a French culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, you know, she said that the chips, we had refreshments, and she said that she put a napkin over the chips so that it wouldn't get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, she took a napkin and put a little water on the napkin and covered the chips. She said so it wouldn't get cold. And I said, cold? And she said, well, that's what we call when we say stale. And I said, oh, okay, now I understand. Yeah, but my mama, she would they would speak. Oh, well, I
that
can't say. Apostle, help me.
That broken friend. Creole.
Creole.
French Creole.
Creole.
Yes, French Creole. And so I understood her when no one else understood her because I understood that French culture, you see. And so when you understand the culture, you can better understand individuals. And so like this, with the whole Bible being from God himself, he is the Father of creation. He is the Son in redemption. He is the Holy Ghost, you know, to humanity, because the Holy Ghost, he gives us the Holy Ghost because he told his disciples, he said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to come back another way. And this is why we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And all through the book of Acts, it's saying water and spirit, because that's all a part of the culture, what they have to do. That was all a part of the commandment, which is the covenant, When he walked with Moses, he was with Moses 40 days and 40 nights. And so with the Jewish culture, they just call the evening and the morning the first day. So a lot of times when it's saying 3 days, they're not saying that it's the complete. They're not actually saying evening and morning, but they just say the first day. And so you know, it's so many things that we miss because of our culture. We try to base it when we're reading the Bible on our culture, but you have to understand the Jewish culture. And he walked with Moses for 40 days, just like he walked with Moses, and he gave Moses the covenant for 40 days, which is the commandment and the covenant for that dispensation, the fifth dispensation. And so that after he gave Moses that covenant, then after that, when Jesus came on the scene, when he manifested himself on the scene, he came and when he gave the covenant again for this dispensation, he gave it to the apostles. That's why now for this dispensation, he was with his disciples for 40 days. And then he told them what to do, to go and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. And he said, which said of me. In other words, it's concerning me. It is me. So wait for my promise, which is the Holy Ghost that I'm going to send. And so he fulfilled these, which is Passover, unleavened bread, and resurrection, which is first fruits. He fulfilled that with his first coming. He first came as a Jewish high priest. And so he's coming back again. But when he comes back again, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. First high priest. And also for Pentecost. Pentecost was the next celebration that he needed to fulfill. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. He poured out his spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. So he fulfilled four feasts. That after 40 days, when he sent them out as apostles. And that's why it says first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's how the fivefold ministry came about. Why? Because God had given it to his apostles and told them, now you have to go and teach all nations that I am the Christ that came, that the one that they have been waiting for all those dispensations, throughout all of the dispensations, the one that they have been waiting on has finally come. He manifests himself on this earth by speaking himself into fulfillment, speaking himself into existence. Just like he spoke everything into existence in the beginning, he came and he spoke it again. And so now this is why we must be born again, not just born again, but of the water and of the spirit. And so they had to go and teach all nations. And Matthew 28 and 19 is only telling Matthew's account of what he said to them on the mount. That is only Matthew's account. But then there's Mark, and there's also Luke, and there's also John's account of being on in that commission. All have an account of what they heard on the Mount of Galilee. Different ones came with a different way, but it's all the same covenant. It's the covenant. It's not just command. It's a covenant. It's not just a commission. It's a commission as well. But they were commissioned to go and tell everybody about the covenant. And this covenant must be born again. And in order to be born again, you must repent and be baptized in his name, in the name of the Father, which is God, which is Jesus. He is the Father of creation. In the name of the Son, which is Jesus, he spoke himself into the womb of Mary. He called that body what he got, Son. Why? Because he was all man, true human being, and true God, true divine. In other words, it's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And his name is Jesus. That's the name that's been given to us in this dispensation, which is the dispensation, the sixth dispensation of God. And so this is why we must be born again of the water and of the spirit. And all through the book of Acts, you see where they did it in the name. They did it. They did it. They got that. They repented, and then they went down in water. And then they received God's spirit. And those that received the spirit first was commanded to be baptized in his name in water. Water and spirit. And John 3 and 3, it says, if you must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom. You don't understand the kingdom. But when you're born again, in verse 5, it tells you, what you must be born again of water and spirit, water and spirit. And that's why in Acts, it's the actions of the apostles, the one that God sent for this dispensation. In the fifth dispensation, many people are still living in the fifth dispensation, but the fifth dispensation is over. It's over. It ended in judgment, and the judgment was Jesus on the cross. That's why when he was on the cross, he told the one that asked for him to remember him in paradise, he said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross was on the other side of what Jesus did, of the death, burial, and resurrection. He was on the other side. But because when Jesus was on the cross, that's where judgment took place. Judgment happened while he was on the cross. And then when he rose, he gave his covenant, the commandment to the apostles, and told them, the new covenant, the new commandment, the new covenant. That's what was given out. And a lot of people don't understand it's a covenant. That's why we must obey the covenant, the plan of salvation, to be saved, to live with him eternally. We must be born again of the water and of the spirit.
You know, that's Pastor Joyce, this is a race that we're running. This is a race that we're running. And we got to start off right. And seeing what God has given us is to show people how to start off running this race. And so what happens is if one would run the whole race, think about it, if an athlete would run the whole race, but they don't start off right. You know, there's a way to start off. You know, they tell them, you know, they got to be behind the line. They can't be in front of the starting line. They have to be behind the starting line. Then the race is called off. Take your mark, get set, you know, pow, the gun will pop. Now, if somebody jumped before that gun, it's going to pop twice, pop, pop, letting the rest of the runners know, listen, someone has jumped the gun. Now, if someone jumped that gun, you understand, and he's so focused on running the race, now, he didn't start off right because he jumped the gun, you know, and if they run the whole race, go all the way around, all the way, and then pop the tape and all, you know, pop the tape. You know what's going to happen to that runner? That runner is going to be disqualified because it didn't start off right. You understand what I'm saying? So this is why, you know, God has given us to preach what we preach, to teach what we teach, because people got to start this thing off right. They got to repent. They got to trust and believe in God. Trust and believe in Jesus Christ, you know, and then they got to repent, you know. They got to start off like that. Can't start off not repenting. Can't start off not living holy. You know, can't start off trying to run this race, without starting off right. And so in order for us, the Bible said, Paul said it on this wise, said we press in toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is what we're running this race, fighting a good fight of faith, you know, staying the course, because there's a crown of life that's laid up for us. As Paul said, not only for him, but for those of us that love his second appearance, you understand, when the righteous one comes and give us that crown. But that crown and that reward is going to be a crown of life. You know, some look at the crown as being one thing and being another thing, but that crown is the crown of life. That's what we're running for, that crown of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
But you know, Apostle, something that I'm really gravitating to as I grow older, more of it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
As I'm really growing closer and closer to him. And we speak a lot about the water and we speak a lot about the Spirit. But until we really get washed, cleansed with his blood, and receive
right.
His Spirit, we will be easily affected by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You started
right.
off talking about the enemy coming to distract us and separate us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But if we, let's say it this way, if we truly are washed in the blood,
mm-hmm.
if we truly
right.
have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the enemy cannot do anything to us. But if
can't
we find
it.
Out, listen to me, listen to what I'm saying. This is real powerful. Because I hear it in my spirit. It's ringing in my spirit like a bell. If we are easily disturbed in our spirit man mm-hmm. by what we hear or what we see, we don't have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We don't Amen. Have it. We don't Amen. Have it. Because once you are washed, Apostle, this stuff that used to disturb me, I would not lie to you. Apostle, make me want to take up a weapon to hurt somebody. And today I can tell you from the center of my heart that folk can say stuff or do stuff. It don't affect me anymore.
Amen.
Because
thank you,
the Spirit of God has taken control of my heart.
Glory.
I'm not easily disturbed by people.
Amen.
You know
what that shows, Apostle? It's showing the true Spirit of God, like you're saying, because it's showing that you have a people that have that type of love have a spirit of repentance.
See, that's the love. When you know, when you know, a forgiveness. That's when I say repentance. I want to say forgiveness. See, mm-hmm. that's when we really know we have the Spirit of God, because we have a spirit of
Amen.
Repentance. We don't let them things bother us, what somebody say or what somebody doing. No, we got that spirit of forgiveness. That's the thing, forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So when we can forgive, that's it right there. Yeah, we're not going to let things bother us. We're not going to get disturbed by all of these different things. I hear people, you know, in whom you believe.
That's the thing. Apostle.
You know in whom you believe. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing about it, when Jesus was on the cross, look at all of the things they did him. Think about it. They had done already spit upon him, but worse than that, they had done beat him unmerciful. Look at what they did to him. Not only that, not only did they nail him to the cross, look at the...
No, he's good. We don't got to close up. We're good. We're good, Pastor.
Look at the punishment.
Good. But
can you hear me?
If you look... Yes, I can hear you, Pastor. We're good.
Okay. Okay, well, what I was saying was that when we look at how Jesus was punished on the cross, you know, in other words, carrying our sins... I mean, he takes death for every man, and we say we want to be more and more and more like Jesus. So listen, if we want to be more and more like Jesus, we got to have a spirit of forgiveness. Suppose Jesus wouldn't have forgiven those that were nailing him to the cross and spitting on him and doing all. He said, Father, forgive them. As a man, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
That's
so when we're drawing, as you say, the apostle, when we're drawing closer to him, more and more we're given that spirit of forgiveness, the Holy Ghost, the spirit of forgiveness. And so because we have a spirit of forgiveness, we don't let nothing shake us. You know,
That's right.
Why? Because the Holy Ghost we have is going to help keep us from falling. You know, if we didn't have the spirit of forgiveness, oh, my God. Man, Lord, the enemy would attack us every day. And not only would he attack us every day, but he'll have us all messed up, you understand, every day if we didn't have that spirit of forgiveness. But it's three that bear witness on earth, and it's so beautiful. The blood, the water, and the spirit. When we understand that, oh, my God, that these are
witnesses, that's right.
Is what we have to have, these witnesses, blood, water, and spirit. Praise God. Okay.
But, you know, we have to work together. If we're going to worship him in heaven, we got to work together down here on earth.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And not go to work out up there. You know, when he put them in the upper room, he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till they be endowed with power. And you see what happened in the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of fussing going on. But the Bible says it wasn't until they get on one accord. They had the same mind, the same heart, same spirit. That power came in like the sound of a rushing wind. It wasn't the wind, but it sung like wind. It wasn't fire, but it burned like fire. It landed upon them like fire. So what happened is that so many people are proclaiming that they're holy and they're so righteous, but the slightest thing moves them to want to jump off the cliff.
My God.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because truly they're not filled. They're not filled with the fire. They're not filled with the spirit.
Wow.
Jesus taught us one thing that is so essential to us, that we have to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
he didn't
yes.
say it was going to be okie dokie. He said, you're going to suffer. Even when he called Paul, from Saul to Paul, he said, look, this one I've chosen. He is a chosen vessel. He would suffer great for my name's sake.
Right.
And folk don't want to go through anything. The slightest thing moves them to another side. Over to God. If we can't reign together down here, we're not going to reign together up there.
Wow.
We got to practice working together down here, living together, suffering together, getting pain together, get hurt together, and still work together.
Yes.
This is what it's all about. Because love is not without suffering. Yeah. Love is not without suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is not without suffering. Look at Jesus. He loved us. How much suffering did he have? Love is not without suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's all about
and as he
suffered
for us in the flesh, we got to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind, simply because the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, if we don't have love, we're not going to bear no infirmities of nobody. But when you got that love, you know what I'm saying, that spirit of forgiveness, you're going to remember where you come from. Because I remember, boy, look, if somebody wouldn't have went through with me and had patience enough to go through with me and to suffer with me, I'm one that probably wouldn't have never made it.
You know, because I was too, Apostle. I'm number one, Apostle. I wouldn't have made it. I told him I like to fight. My pastor come up and say, I can't believe you all being another deep elder within the church, and he talked too bad to me. And you know, I still had that paper spirit feelings. And he talked and said, man, you want to take, let's go outside. We leave the church and go in the parking lot. Two elders in the church. Mm-hmm. And Pastor came up to me and said, I can't believe both of you are my spiritual sons. Look at you up. What do you think the people are thinking now? And I felt like a little cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
And just told me right there, he said, look, if you're going to walk for Christ, you're going to have to bear stuff. People are going to say stuff. People are going to do stuff. But you're going to still have to stand on that straight and narrow. And you're the light.
Yeah.
You talk about that in the message. You got to be the light that people see.
Amen.
To glorify the Father in heaven. And you can't jump off at everything because you hear something and you're listening to hear something out of somebody's mouth to set your spirit off because you now have the right spirit. See, if you don't have the right spirit, all you do is listen to hear people say something. And you're offended by what somebody say. They may not even be talking about you.
Most times, not the only time.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Now, there might be
so
sometimes that, you know, if somebody jump off, it might be because, you know, they got to get another phone call or they got something that they're doing or maybe the noise.
I'm not talking, Apostle. I'm not talking about jumping off the line. I'm talking about jumping off in the spirit.
Oh, getting out of the spirit. I see what you're saying.
You understand? I'm not talking about jumping off the line. I'm talking about somebody just hearing something, people listening to hear somebody say something and get offended in their spirit, man.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Now,
instead of allowing God to use them to stand above whatever you hear or see, that you're Christ-like.
That's right. I see what you're saying.
Christ
was
carrying that heavy cross 14 stations, and they were whipping him, spitting on him, doing all kind of stuff. He didn't say a mumbling word.
Look at that, huh?
He was suffering for us. Mm-hmm. And we can't even hear or see one thing before we get bent out of shape and we were saved. We said we are saved, sanctified, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and all that stuff. We say that sound eloquent, but we can't walk it.
Yeah, I know so many people that's like that, Apostle. So
we can't
walk
it. It's hard, Apostle. It's hard. They can't walk it. Where we get to that place that folk can say stuff about you and you still walk the way Christ walked on those 14 stages, you are on the right path.
That's when you went to
not
it.
Not moved
that's
by what nobody say.
Yes, Apostle.
People
that's
take
so
my
true.
Money and tore up my car and all kind of thing, Pastor George, Joyce,
mm-hmm.
and they moved me at all. Didn't move me. I have folk I work for, and they come and say, in the makeup, I think, but the money, so what do you want to pay? What do you want to pay? Because the money I can't carry from here. I said, what do you want to pay? What will make you happy to pay me? At least I'm going to get something from my labor.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay me. I said, well, okay, you happy? That's fine. See, because you got to understand you're representing Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's right.
You're representing him.
Yeah.
You're not going to let somebody run off and say, well, look, he wants a child with this or she wants a child with this. And I thought, no, you'll be the loser for Christ's sake. Be the loser for Christ's sake. This is what it's all about.
Yeah.
If we're going to serve together, we got to learn to love one another in spite of. In spite of, Pastor Joyce. In spite of, man, I tell my spirit heavy right now. In spite of.
In spite of. That's
Pastor,
right.
In spite of. You got to love. We got to love one another in spite of. Because
you
can't fool God. One thing for
saying,
sure, two things for sure, we cannot fool God.
Mm-hmm.
No.
God knows our hearts. God knows our hearts. Either we with him or we not with him. And we're going to show that we're with him when we love on each other, when we unconditionally love each other.
unconditional love, agape love. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
And that's what the scripture says. Why couldn't you just suffer the blame? When
that's
it comes
right.
down to us, you know, hearing something that offends us, because he tells us ahead of time that, you know, if you offended, you know, when we get offended at the word, you know, it's better for you to have a millstone wrapped around your neck, you know.
That's
you know,
right.
But mm-hmm. if you're going to get offended at the word, he tells us not to be offended. He warns us and tells us not to be offended because people are going to say things. Not only that, even us as being pastors, you know, in the Old Testament, he spoke to Moses and told Moses, whatever they had a problem, bring it to the congregation. And a lot of times when we go to the congregation and say things because we know everybody's business that come to us, they think that we're doing this here in their business,
yeah.
you know, throwing their business out there, but we don't go to the pulpit like that. We're only saying what God leads us to say. And a lot of times,
right.
because God allow us to go through things, and then he tell us, now bring him before the congregation. Somebody going through that situation, and they need to know how to go about it. And they need to know what to do and what not to do. By the word that you have received, bring it to everyone. I want to tell everybody about this.
That's right. That's right.
You know, but when we go to the congregation and we speak things, right away they think we're throwing things at them. No, we're not saying nothing about your business. We're only saying what God has spoken to us to say.
To help the body. To help the body.
You know, that the word of God is not bound.
That's right.
The word of God is not bound. Neither situation.
Not bound. So
are
when
bound.
God gives you a word,
and
even
I
though,
and everything, every situation we're going through is not because of what we're going through. It's others. It's how many people you have on this line.
Last night he told me something, Pastor. We got a good few people on right now, but he said me last.
I'm talking about what goes, how far it goes out. It's
it goes all over the world.
People.
All
are
over
the
world. Thousands. Thousands upon thousands.
What I'm saying, my point is, it's more than the people that's on here that
right.
you know of.
That's right.
It's more people. It's all over the world. And it's so many situations that people are in. They don't have a pastor to go to.
That's right. That's
they
right.
don't have anyone to go to. They're dependent on what they get from this line.
That's right.
And this
I have a lady. I have one lady, apostle, not crossing you. She is she's very much overweight, and she can't get out the house. I used to go to church back in Virginia that she used to go to, and
wow.
she can't never go. She's in a wheelchair, big wheelchair, one of them big ones. And she says to me, Sammy says, Apostle, you know, I'm so grateful because every day I get to hear the word. You make sure the word come to my phone. She said, I appreciate it because, you know, I can't get out anymore like I used to before to go to the house of the Lord to worship. So it's very essential that we get the word on here, you know.
Okay.
We get it on here. Don't care who bringing it. We get the word on here and get it out. Because people, a lot of people can't go. They don't have a car to drive. They live too far. You
That's
know?
Right.
But they can get this word coming into their living room, right into their bedroom,
mm-hmm.
right to them.
It's a blessing.
People have to learn how to dress in that armor. Last night, the Holy Spirit, I was laying in the bed dealing with something, Apostle. And I'm not going to share it on the line. I was dealing with something. And the Lord said to me, this is why I give you the armor. He said, the armor, my armor is holiness. Because we look at it as the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the feet shod with gospel, the feet, the belt of truth. We look at it as that. But he says, no, my armor is holiness. He
it's
said, when
God
you truly
himself.
Got on the full armor, he said, when you truly, this is what he told me last night. I tell you, he woke me up in the night and told me this. He said, when you truly have on the armor, my armor, when you truly have on my armor, it doesn't matter what anybody say.
Amen.
That's right.
He said, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Because the stuff that folk will bring to you coming from the enemy will not be able to penetrate holiness.
Amen.
Right. That's
and I said, wow. I said, wow. He says, there's no armor like it. That's why he started with the armor. When he started with the armor, the first piece of armor that he tell you to put on is the belt of truth. Do you know that?
That's right.
The
that's
belt
right.
Of truth.
Hangs on the word.
That's right. Truth.
Everything hangs on the yes. word.
And I said, God, that thing, when he told me that last night and he broke it down to me in the spirit, I had chills going through my body. I'd lean in the bed.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is why a lot of so-called Christians are shattered so easily.
Wow.
Because they don't have it on.
Apostle.
Right. That's right.
That was the first word that God had given to Apostle to come forth with. Now his word being true.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So good. Yes, so good.
Well, Apostle, you can close us out. You can close us out because my wife's just coming. I'm going to go spend some time with her. And I thank you. I want to thank you and Pastor Joyce so much from the center of my heart. You know, I love you guys so much. And I thank God that we are partners together for the kingdom. And
amen.
I know that God is going to do greater work for your ministry. More people are going to come because we are in a time we people are going to rush looking for some place to hear the word of God. True word of God. And they're coming. They're coming, Apostle. They're coming.
Amen.
Give Lady Calendar our love.
Will do. Will do. I thank you so much.
Okay. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we just thank you for this day that you made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, lift up Apostle Calendar and his wife, Nancy Calendar, his family, in the name of the Lord Jesus, his son, Benjamin. Lift them all up to you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you have mercy on their mind, heart, body, with his granddaughter. In the name
Honey,
of Jesus. Lord, I even pray for the dog.
Joyce, say her
name.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Can you hear me, Apostle?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I thought I was on mute. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we pray for Apostle Calendar. We pray for his family. We pray for his home. In the name of Lord Jesus, granddaughter. In the name of Lord Jesus, his son, Lord, thank you for opening up doors. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We pray for all that's on the line. Pray for the Washingtons, Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington. They're always praying for us, Lord. I lift them up to you. Thank you for them praying for us. We pray for them. Oh, God, as they cover us, we cover them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for Deacon, the Deacon, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and others whose names may not be calling out of the names. I'm not going to really try to call out of the names, Lord, but like you know the names of the stars of heaven, Lord, you know the names of everyone that love you and that worship you in spirit and in truth, God. I pray for them. And God, I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Pray that you rebuke demons and devils. Cast them forth from us, Lord. Lift up Pastor Joyce and myself. Thank you for covering us and our family, Lord. Thank you for rebuking all retaliations of Satan and his demons that they don't come nigh us. God, we thank you for giving us victory over witchcraft, voodoo, black magic, everything that's not like you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your name is a strong tower. We, the righteous, run into it, and we are safe. So, Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it lightly for what you've done for us on Calvary, that you come all the way down from heaven to do, Lord. We don't take it lightly, Lord. We appreciate all that you've done for us, God. And all that you bless us and how that you help us to be a light to others so that they can see and find their way to you, Lord. Oh, God, you said if you be lifted up, oh, God, you would draw all men into you, Lord. So thank you for drawing all races of people to you, Lord, for you didn't come just for one race. You come for the human race, all that have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them. So, Lord, we thank you for this precious blood of Jesus Christ and the very power of your resurrection, Lord. We thank you, Lord, once again, that there will be no retaliation of Satan, and that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and you, Lord Jesus, being the chief cornerstone. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for coming from heaven to earth to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and within by your stripes we are healed. We thank you for that whole arm of God on. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being that whole arm of God that we have on and that we have living on the inside of us. And the devil cannot penetrate you. He would have to penetrate you. He'd have to come through you to get to us, Lord. He can't come through you. So we thank you for having you on and you living on the inside of us in the name of Jesus. And whenever the enemy comes to try to attack us, Lord, he sees you before he even sees us. So, Lord, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise for your protection. Thank you for the holy angels of God that you dispatched to watch over us, fight for us, and protect us. Thank you for traveling mercy, traveling grace. Thank you for those holy angels that never lost their first estate. That's doing battle for us. We don't take it lightly, Lord. We thank you for the victory that we have in all things through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who strengthened us. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, rest, rule, and abide in us now, henceforth, forevermore. Let us all respond by saying amen and goodbye. Until
amen,
the next time.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless
you
all. Have a blessed evening, safe evening if you're traveling. And the mercy that surpasses, the grace that surpasses all understanding rests upon each and every one of us in Jesus' holy name. We love you, but Christ loved you more. Bye-bye.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Bye-bye. Amen.